Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Well, my friends, today we are going to go to the mailbag and take a look at some of the interesting comments that people send to me. The first one, a guy sent me an article. And the name of the article is Three Reasons Investors Prefer Real Estate. Now, there's no title on this article as to who wrote it, but on the very back, it says rentalhousingjournal.com. So I'm going to give credit to rentalhousingjournal.com as to where this came from. However, I can't confirm that. It goes on and says three reasons why investors prefer multifamily investments over the stock market. And I'm just going to follow each one of these and give a little comment if there is anything that I think is important. First one is number one, lower volatility. Stocks can have a volatility that's not found with most private placement offerings. Real estate provides a long-term cash flow, provides passive income, and promise of appreciation. Not very well stated. Real estate provides a long-term cash flow, provides passive income and a promise of appreciation. Boy, I think that's a run-on sentence, guys. I guess just because you write for a journal doesn't mean you know how to write. Whatever, based on that, yes, it does offer all three of those. And the way I like to talk to people about real estate compared to the stock market volatility is this. Think about having a guy threatening you to take everything you own. He's got a gun at your head, and he says, if you don't give me what you own, I'm going to shoot you. Your chances of getting out of that situation are next to none. You can't outrun that bullet. And so you're scared to death that this guy can take it all, and he probably will take it all. That's the stock market. Now let's look at the real estate market. Real estate market is like a guy threatening you with a train. You're standing at the tracks, and the guy says, hey, if you don't give me everything you have, I'm going to run you down with the train. Now, no doubt, being run down by a train would kill you. And if that is equation to be equal to taking everything you own, you could lose everything in real estate. But the difference is, you see the train coming down the tracks, and you have the opportunity away from the tracks and not get hit by the train. So when the market goes crashing down, you don't have to sell. That's not a necessity. Just step away from all the insanity. Don't be a part of it. In fact, in every recession since I got started in real estate investing, every recession I've ever been through has been the best time for me to buy real estate. Because why? Because you can see the train a-coming, and the people that don't get off the tracks get hit. They get destroyed. Then you go in, you pick up the pieces along the track, put them back together, and boom, you're wealthy. The last recession I went through, which is 2008, I quadrupled my net worth. Actually, I tripled my net worth, but since then it's gone up even more because it's just keep rising. There has not been another real dip since 2008. It's been up, 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 up. And so the bottom line is the volatility is different, totally different than the stock market. Number two, your gains can be deferred. If you sell a property that you invest in and put the proceeds towards purchasing a similar property, your capital gains taxes can be deferred to a later date, which is called a 1031 tax deferred exchange. During this process, a qualified intermediary will hold the proceeds from the sale until the money can be transferred to another property. Engaging in the 1031 allows you to avoid 15 to 20% long-term capital gains tax. Now, you avoid it until you finally decide to sell something. You could avoid it and continue to avoid it all the way until you die, in which case your family would receive your income. At that point, it would be received in a tax stepped up basis, which means they would receive the value of it, whatever it's worth today, and then they'd start depreciating it. And all of the money that you didn't pay for taxes for through depreciation, all the money you didn't pay for capital gains, on all of this ownership of this real estate, as long as you've been doing this, just disappears. All those taxes disappear. That's why the Biden administration right now and the law they're trying to pass wants to do two things. One, they want to eliminate 1031 exchanges if they can. And two, they want to eliminate the inheritance provision that allows for people to inherit the properties at a stepped-up basis, meaning that all the taxes that were never paid by this individual, their entire lifetime ownership of this property that they've deferred, just go away, just disappear. So we don't know if these two provisions will actually withstand the next 12 to 24 months of the Democrats trying to knock them out, but they have been there ever since I started 30 years ago, and they're very strong provision. Number three, real estate can be used as a hedge against inflation. Over time, the value of a dollar increases as a result of inflation. While the value of currency will inevitably increase over time, the rate of inflation isn't always consistent. As inflation rises, the cost of everything goes up, including real estate. When property values increase, the property owner can charge more for rent, which ensues. All right, so first of all, again, whoever's writing this article is pretty dumb. Cash does not go up in value during inflation. It goes down in value. Real estate, on the other hand, goes up in value. So as inflation occurs, cash positions of any kind go down in value, whereas asset-based decisions, most of which go up in value because they're inflating. Assets inflate. Dollars don't inflate. Dollars deflate. And so they got it wrong, but the concept is right, is that during these times of high inflation, which we currently have, 5% inflation, the highest it's been for 30 years, during these times of high inflation, and could even be higher if they pass this $5 trillion bill they're trying to pass right now, in times of high inflation, real estate is going to just blow it out of the park, knock it out of the park, whatever saying you prefer. And why is that? Because we're buying real estate on current low-cost dollars, and we're leveraging an asset that we don't even pay for. It's on debt. And that debt is in current dollars. In other words, if I borrow $1 million of debt, it's $1 million worth of debt. As inflation occurs, that $1 million becomes worth less, because dollars deflate, unlike this idiot who wrote the article. So as the dollars deflate, that loan becomes less burdensome. But at the same time, the asset is going up in value. Now think of that. That's the best of both worlds. You've got debt that's deflating in your name, and you've got assets that's inflating in your name. I mean, that's just about as good as it can get for someone that's looking to get ahead in our society. So the government doesn't understand that, where they're taking all this money, these trillions of dollars, and spending it on service-based investments. That money will be spent, used, gone, and back into the pockets of rich people within no time at all. That money then will be used to inflate the cost of houses and apartment complexes and other big assets. As those things inflate, their prices will go up. As their prices go up, we will charge more for rent for people to live there, because we have to cover the debt. But the debt will get larger. The cost will get larger. The value will be going up. So as you're sitting there owning real estate right now, it's going up in value while everybody else's assets, right? I'm sorry, not everybody else's assets. Everybody's cash is going down in value. So what do you need to do? You need to own some assets. That's all there is to it. During inflationary periods of time, you need assets. That's the only thing that works. In a deflationary period of time, the dollar becomes strong, has great buying power, and we've seen that, where the dollar has gone up and had so much buying power that it was useless in other countries. I mean, it was so strong in other countries. Other countries hated it because we could buy everything they have for next to nothing as far as dollars. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show. I don't know which one bums you out more, the little wheel, you get in the little wheel and run, or the cubicle. Go to your prison cubicle.
Think about being in prison every day. What do? You get up every day and stand in your cubicle. Maybe sit in your cubicle. What do you do when you go to work every day? Go to the cubicle. Whew. I couldn't put up with it when I was there. I had to get out.
Ready to get out too? Learn how at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the five ways to make money with real estate, cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single-family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. And if you're just tuning in right now, today is hitting the mailbag. First thing that came out of the bag was an article someone sent me about the three reasons why investors prefer real estate over the stock market. Number one was lower volatility. Number two is gains can be deferred, so you don't have to pay taxes on your capital gains. And number three can be used to hedge against inflation. Now, they've left out the most important one, in my mind. Actually, two of them, the most important. One of them is cash flow. The stock market doesn't give you any cash flow. You can't live off no cash flow. If you have capital gains, you got to pull them out. If you pull them out to live off them, your amount of asset goes down. If your amount of asset goes down, your potential to earn more income goes down. In real estate, your asset is going up. It's appreciating. The mortgage is being paid down, so your equity is growing from both ends, both from debt reduction and from increase in value. But at the same time, you're pulling out cash flow. You're living off your cash flow. Now, the next thing that's important is when capital gains or whatever you take the money out of the stock market, that's a taxable offense. And you have to pay taxes on it, whether it's short-term capital gains or long-term capital gains. And by the way, short-term capital gains is ordinary income. Whatever it is, you're going to pay taxes on it. Now, let's compare that to real estate. And we'll talk about myself for just a second. Just, it doesn't mean it's any different for you. It's just what it is for me. And the reality is that I have businesses that I pay myself to work in. I pay myself to do these radio shows. I pay myself to do seminars. So when I work, I get paid to work. That's a service that has to be compensated as earned income. So in my earned income, I have to pay not only income taxes, but I have to pay Social Security and Medicare. Now, my company pays the other half of Social Security and Medicare, and since I own my company and all the profits go to me, I am, in essence, paying both sides of Social Security and Medicare, which means I'm paying 15.3%. Now, I'm in the tax earning bracket of millions a year, so I'm in the 42% tax bracket of earned income, and I'm also paying 15.3% taxes. So 42 plus 15 is 57% income taxes in Social Security and Medicare. So I'm taxed at about 60%, throwing some whatever Obama secret taxes are in there. I don't even understand those Obama secret taxes. It's like a surtax of 2% or more if you make more than $1 million a year or something, whatever it is. I don't know. So the bottom line is I figure I pay about 60% in taxes. On the other hand, on the real estate that I own, I have what we call depreciation deductions. Now, I own 8 apartment complexes and 6 commercial buildings, so whatever that, all that depreciation adds up to, it is something that I can write off against my earned income. The reason I can write it off against my earned income is because my wife is a full-time real estate professional. And I used to be a full-time real estate professional, but I don't claim it anymore. But I probably could because all I do is real estate and a couple hours of radio a week. So the bottom line is that whatever the reason is, because we're real estate professionals, we can deduct our passive losses against not only our passive income, but against our earned income. Now, let's just start with our passive income. If we could write it off against our passive income, we would take it against just the income we earned from our real estate and interest income and so forth that was all passive. Because we're a real estate professional family, we can write it off against our earned income in addition to our passive income. So the one apartment I talked to you about yesterday, just one apartment complex I own, my deduction the first year I got was like $700,000 worth of depreciation I got to put against my earned income. So the first $700,000 worth of my earned income, now forget about the depreciation from my other apartment complexes or my other buildings, but just that one building, that one apartment complex, is not one building, it's a whole complex. That one gave me about $700,000 worth of deductions the first year. So that meant the first $700,000 of what I earned that year paid no income taxes. Now remember, in passive income, there's no Social Security and Medicare, period. So that's out. That 15% is gone on all of my passive income. That's not earned income. It's passive. Secondly, on the stuff that's passive, I get to write off the first $700,000 because of that building as a depreciation deduction, a phantom loss, per se, on your tax return. And so 42% of $700,000, whatever that is, I'm just curious. Let's take a look at what that would be. I didn't figure that one out before I got on here. Let's see, 700,000 times 42%. That's a $294,000 tax deduction, $300,000 tax deduction. Now, if I had already paid those taxes in, I would get a check back for $300,000. Just in full disclosure, I think my check back from the government or my refund was like $700,000. So in other words, I had enough deductions to get back $700,000 from the IRS. Now remember, I had to pay that in to get it back. So you say, well, why do you pay it in? Well, because on all of my business income, I owe taxes on it unless I have depreciation to cover it. So I have to pay in quarterly. And some people have to pay in monthly, I have to pay in quarterly, and so we do what is known as quarterly estimates. And I send all my financials from all my companies over to my CPA firm, the CPA firm that handles my taxes. They calculate and say, Del, send this much into the IRS, and we send it in each quarter. But at the end of the year, when they do the tax return, they come back and say, okay, government owes you back $700,000. That's something you don't get in the stock market. I defy you to show me somebody in the stock market that gets back $700,000 in tax refunds. So you say, well, tax refunds, to me, that's income. That's money. Do you understand? No, it's not income. Don't say that because they want to tax you on your refunds. No, it is money. It's just as much money as anything else's money. It's $700,000 that is there that I have that I wouldn't have had. And you go, well, man, that's how much you get back from the government. I don't even make that much. I know you don't. That's not the point. The point is, I've been doing this for 30 years. I'm telling you how to retire in 2 to 5 years, but I've been doing it for 30. So don't you think something that somebody can retire in, I've retired in 2.5 years. If you can retire in 2.5 years and be a millionaire, what do you think you're worth after 30 years of doing the same thing? Well, the answer is a lot more. So don't hate me for doing what I've told you to do for the last 30 years. If you would have listened to me for 30 years, you'd be talking about some massive tax refund also. You understand? So the bottom line is, this article under testifies to why people pick real estate over the stock market. They're not even close. Not even close when it comes to building wealth. It's unbelievably easier with real estate. Take a short break. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Walmsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day, and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. Just point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do or waiting to see what the economy is going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we are diving deep into the mailbag, and the next email comes up here. Says, I'm planning on coming to the two-day workshop this year, but I have no savings, and I'm curious if cashing out and refinancing is a good way to get started. And he goes into his background, a lot about where his money is and so forth. And he's stating that, you know, we have interest rate of 2.875 on our loan, but we can refinance again within 6 months and pull out $130,000 to invest in multifamily. So he says, with the membership, how quickly could one expect to retire starting with around $130K to invest in multifamily? Or do you think single family would be a better start? Well, let's start with this. Real estate investing is not a panacea. And over the years, from 2008, we were able to get 200-300% rates of return. Our rates of return now, because the prices of everything have gone up because of inflation, even with the lowering of interest rates, our rates of return have compressed. And so realistically, the rate of return that I was explaining to you the other day in the deal that I've just recently done is looking at cash on cash return of 6 to 10%. And we're looking on capital gains rates of about 30% a year, or basically I had a 90% capital gain increase over a 3-year period of time. So I just averaged it out to 30% a year. Those are just numbers that I recently experienced. And I had another deal that I was a part of that we recently experienced the same kind of growth, same kind of income, same kind of growth. So speaking to the people around me here at Lifestyles, that seems to be the general, you know, consensus about what we're able to see nowadays, which is quite a bit restrained from the fact that a deal I did way back in 2009 and 10, I bought in 2008 or 9, sold in 2010 or 11, and we made like a, you know, ungodly amount of money. I think it was a 300% rate of return on the deal. So it's quite a bit different. But looking at that, let's take a look at what we have here. Guy says he's making $140,000 a year. So the first thing you have to do to try to calculate how quickly you can retire is to get rid of the taxes, because we don't pay taxes on the money that we earn if done correctly in real estate. And so $140,000 a year in combined income between him and the wife really equates to taking home only $84,000 a year, or $7,000 a month. That's the first thing you got to do to calculate your rate of, you know, how soon you can retire. The next thing you do is you say, okay, with $84,000 a year necessary, what is the smallest amount of money you could have and hit that? And so I took a 10%, which is the top of the line. That would be $840,000. It would take a 10% return on $840,000 to get to $84,000 a year. Now, the fact that some deals only return 6 to 10% means that it might take more than $840,000. So you have to take a look at that. Now, the next thing you do is you say, okay, let's look at the compounding effect. If you have $130,000 right now and it goes up by 30% a year and 6 to 10% in cash flow, we'll just take a moderate 8%. Doesn't really matter. Take 10. Make it easy. Numbers rounder. So that means 30% capital gains, 10% cash flow. That's 40% a year. So the 130 is going to take 2.5 years to get to double. So the 130 in 2.5 years goes to 260 in 2.5 years. And that 260 goes to 520 in 2.5 more. And that 520 goes to 1,040 in 2.5 more. So we've got 7.5 years. You're looking at 7.5 years of growth to get that $130,000 up to a number around $1 million. And $1 million at even 6%, at 10%, it'd produce $104,000 a year tax-free. At 6%, I'm just going to quick number here, clear 101,040,000, 1, 2, 3, times 0.06 at minimum, 62,400. You're talking about somewhere around 7.5 years to get you to a number that you could probably survive on. Now, by the way, the $84,000, you could also cut your cost of living a little bit. A lot of people do that right before they decide to retire. One of the things they find is if you stop working, you don't have all those go-to-work costs. So that gets it out of there. But what I want you to understand is two things. One, when you're calculating how long it's going to take you to retire, first of all, take out the taxes if you're doing it with real estate, doing it right. And then number two, just look at what the rate of returns are that are currently available to you. Now, in the future, those might go back up again. There might be another crash, and if there is, and we can go out and get an unheard of returns, then those numbers will change. If and when that happens, we'll tell you what we're finding in the marketplace today. Next one says, inflation questions from your radio show. I heard your radio show today and the new inflation numbers. I'm contemplating the same outcome regarding multifamily, and I have two questions for you about the impact of inflation on single family. Number one, investors who buy single family houses are probably more insulated from inflation than multifamily since they have multiple exits, right? They can sell to an investor or continue to collect rent, or they can sell to an owner-occupant. In theory, wages will have COLAs and adjustments, and rent and home prices will eventually reach an equilibrium. Okay, I have no problem with that statement as far as being as safe or safer than multifamily, if that's what he's asking. That's true. Houses will inflate, though, just as fast as apartments do, but the difference is you can get a 30-year mortgage on a house, and you can only get a 10-year mortgage on an apartment. So he's even more right about the safety of single family in that if you go in there and lock in a 30-year mortgage, even if interest rates go back up because of massive inflation, your interest rate's not going up because it's locked in for 30 years. That's the difference, and that's the safety in single family. That's why when I started with single family, I knew I could buy a house, and I had the same note for 30 years, whether costs went up, costs went down, rents went up, what didn't matter, my payment was the same. That's a very, very secure position to be in. That's the way my commercial real estate is. I have long-term leases, 15-year leases. The income is guaranteed for 15 years, and it could actually lose if inflation goes up, 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 up. My rents are actually being deflated down. So it's an anti compared to the single-family rent houses where that rent goes up every year. Number two, inflation should disproportionately add to real estate investors' wealth since the down payments are made in today's dollars and inflation occurs on the underlying asset that is leveraged 4 to 5 times. So investors should consider the gains from inflation on cash-on-cash basis, particularly when considering single-family homes since they have multiple exits. It's even better than what he's saying here. It's not just the down payment that's current cost. It's the debt. The debt is bought at current dollar value. As inflation occurs, the debt's actual value goes down. You owe less real-time dollar. You own less value. As the value of a dollar goes down, the value of the debt goes down. Yet as the value of the apartment or house goes up, the value goes up with the inflation. So it's a double-edged sword, both working for the investor and against everybody else. Let me see if I can get a short one. Here's a short one. It said, hey, Dell, I think you should put Steve on the radio. He's a good person to interview on the radio. His complex is an area that I'm very familiar with. It's between Shepherd and Laird, just south of Piamont. At one time a few years ago, that area was number one crime area in the precinct. Now, however, it has changed. It says, thanks. The crisis is over, COVID, of course, but rather the government lockdowns and the mandates they used for COVID as an excuse to enact. Our income is at an all-time high, and we've only evicted 2 people since the lockdown. I guess that's a message he sent out to his investors, that Steve had done a great job on this. And like it says, they made their money. COVID didn't stop them. They only evicted 2 people since the lockdown had ended. Great news. And by the way, we're 96-97% occupied in my apartments, and we have no delinquency, zero delinquency. Now, I know other people do have delinquency, but that's because they put bad tenants in. If you don't put bad people in, good people will pay, and if they can't pay, they'll leave, just out of their own personal common sense and or decency. Now, many people that have common sense and decency will come to you and work out some kind of a payment plan until they get back on their feet, and we've done a few of those. Not many, but a few. And the bottom line is we had no problem with that because we have no delinquency because of the way we did workarounds on these deals. So my friends, when you hear something like that and you've got these big fears that the whole world's crashing, caving down, it is on poor people that don't have enough money to withstand or buy and maintain great real estate. Remember, our motto is best product, best price. People don't want to leave where they live if it is the best product and at the best price. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're digging deep into the mailbag, coming up with questions and stories. The next email says, I'm a huge fan of the show. I've been listening for at least 5 years now. I've recently become a member of Lifestyles. I'm working on trying to get into this two-day. My girlfriend is on board. Two, I currently own one single family rental. It's doing very well currently. I have a mortgage on my own home that I live in and also have a piece of property I bought for nearly nothing a few years ago. So I'm not new to buying real estate. I have perfect credit, a rather decent occupation as a welder, and I live well below my means. I'm also making sure I do what I can to reduce my monthly expenses significantly. My question to you is if there's anything I can do to get closer to acquiring my next investment property before getting into the next two-day event, or is the two-day the only way to get to finding good deals? You know, this is a very typical thing. This is a very, what's the word for it? I'm going to say successful in that this gentleman is taking a lot of really good steps. I like his whole diatribe of what he's doing, what he has done. He's taken a lot of good steps. But unfortunately, as he states here, all those steps are things you can get by listening to the radio for 5 years. And you can listen to our radio show and other radios, shows and podcasts, and you can look things up on the internet. But the bottom line is, until you get into our two-day, you're not going to understand the in-depth information. Now, you notice I didn't call it secret information. It's not secret. It's not something that only we know in the world. It's something that I have taken over 30 years with help of thousands of people, using it, utilizing it, perfecting it, distilled down into something that you can assimilate, that you can understand in a two-day period of time. In other words, I'm taking 30 years' experience and cramming them down into 2 days that you walk away with so much information that your parents don't have, your CPA doesn't have, your attorney doesn't have, your broker and real estate agent don't have. These are all of the minute details, but more importantly, the minute details arranged in an order that makes it understandable. Think about if I took all kinds of paragraphs from all kinds of math books, accounting books, science books, real estate books, law books, tax books, and I took one paragraph out of each of those books, or 10 paragraphs out of each of those, and mixed them all together, and you were just reading all this unrelated material, you probably would not be able to assimilate the crossover, the utilization of these different ideas in the same action step in the way you would by coming to the two-day. People say going to the two-day is like drinking out of a fire hose. The amount of information is overwhelming. Many people take the two-day two or three times, in fact. Many people take it again even after they've been successful just to refresh what they've forgotten and or to look at anything new we stuck in there that has changed. Information is so important. successful people live by this belief. They live by the belief that you're a lifelong learner. And J.B. Durham is the one that coins that statement all the time, but I really love it because it's true. My entire life, I've read books, read articles, stayed on top of changes, of everything it is that I am interested in. In fact, I started losing weight again, and I went back and started watching videos, YouTube videos about how to lose weight and how to bodybuild. And I've been doing this not for 30 years. I've been doing bodybuilding for 50 years, since I was 15 years old. And yet, even today, at 65 years of age, I'm 64, going to be 65 in a month. Even then, I see things and go, man, I forgot more about bodybuilding and losing weight than I remember. And seeing it again, just boom, re-inspires it. But then you see new stuff, or you see somebody that is able to explain it in a more profound and clear manner, and it makes it just come alive. And that's what has to happen for you to be able to come out of the blocks and get the kinds of results that our members get. He goes on, he says, I'm really wanting to get into multifamily as soon as possible, but I want to know if you think that's too much for someone in my situation at this point. Hey, we don't know what your situation is until you take the 2-day. You have to look at all of the variables. And during that 2 days, we will break down those variables that point to which way you should start. Even then, sometimes it just takes sitting down with another person that's done it and asking really personal questions about where are my goals and how do they align with my fears. Your goal may say, I want everything and I want it now, but your fear may say, but I'm not willing to take the risk to make that kind of gain. In which case, you've either got to go with your fear or you've got to go with a balance of fear and pleasure. Everything in life is motivated by either pain or pleasure. That's a Tony Robbins quote. And also he says that you'll do 10 times more to avoid pain than you will to gain pleasure. So unless you're a type A personality who doesn't even care about failure, you're going to be not focusing on gain. You're going to be focusing on what do I have to lose by trying this. And so you've got to balance that fear out with enough positives and enough assertions of safety. And that's what the 2-day does. It shows you why what we do is safe, how to do it so that something that is profitable is also safe. 3 rules. Rule number 1, never lose money. That's my favorite rule. Rule number 2 is there's got to be cash flow. And most people start businesses with 0 to negative cash flow. And rule number 3, you can't get rich slow. Everybody's told you your whole life you can't get rich quick. That's a lie. When you make $7, $8, $10 million a year, you're getting rich quick. But you're not going to get to that if you actually believe you can't get rich quick. So my friends, remember this. Whether you're doing it for the money or not, the most important thing to remember that the reason we do this is for the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
For listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.